Subtitles are off. Recording started. Excellent. Welcome to the February 20 call for traceability, I guess. Today we're going to be going through the rest of our list. Hopefully we should be able to knock them all out today. And that should hopefully get us through everything, and we can mark it. I see roughly 79 to 15-ish, maybe, issues that we want to go through. There's a lot of PRs, though, so that's really, really nice, and we should start there. Before we do, does anybody have any requests they want to bring up, any topics they want to talk about before we get into PR review? Cool. Starting with, as always, our least recently updated PR, we have number 923. Patrick, this is the one where I believe we left it on, you were communicating with the PyLD library?
Yeah, so actually I think this one we can close it. So we did a PR on the PyLD library, which was merged, and a new version of the package was released sometime next week, and I did test it, and it fixes my issue. So we can close this issue, and maybe, I know we had discussed about potentially opening a new one to decide what we want to do with all the empty context.
Mm-hmm.
But my problem is resolved. And then if we want to eventually address the empty context, we should just open a new issue and close this PR.
Yep, I have closed that PR. Thank you.
Perfect.
Would you be able to open that new issue?
Yeah, I can. I can get on that.
Thank you.
Definitely.
Awesome. Off to a great start today. Next up, we have 928. So this was opened by Nis. Nis and the Transmute team have basically said they're no longer going to be contributing to this work item. But generally speaking, this PR is straightforward. It does do a bunch of improvements to the intro. It has a lot of reviews, and they're all positive. I think we're good to merge it in. I believe everything has been resolved, unless I'm missing something. Yeah, Ted approved the changes 2 weeks ago, and you were the outstanding person. Okay. Am I good to merge in PR number 928? This is editorial improvements to the introduction. Awesome. Merging it in. 929 and 930 are both draft PRs from Patrick. Do you want to talk about them, Patrick, or do you feel like they need some more time to cook?
I can certainly talk about it. So I do have some answers for some of the questions were raised. One of them was if these credentials represented existing physical documents. The short answer is yes. So for the Mines Act permit, this was, so it's a very old process of BC to distribute a permit for mines owner. The problem is the original document is sort of a very long PDF form. So this version one of the credential is more a proof of possession of the permit and not the permit in itself. And they will work on a version two, which should contain all the information for the permit in itself. For the oil and gas tenure credential,
Sorry, before you move on.
Yep.
So this is 929? The mines one, right? Would you
yes.
be able to modify the description to mention what you just said? Something along the lines of, you know, this is a simplified version of blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and I still need to be sure that, so we're still discussing, like, which credential we will add to the vocab and which one won't be. So they are still in the process of understanding this the ecosystem as a whole, like who will send which credential to who. I believe they should add this to the vocabulary, but this PR will probably stay open for a few more weeks until we solve this part. But I can definitely change the description. I can also add a link. So they have a public registry for all the permit holders, which you can go get all the public documents. So I can add a link to that in the description as well.
Awesome. That sounds really, really good. Would you be able to write a comment on those PRs to that effect? Just so.
Yeah, let me do that right now. Awesome. Do you mind if I do it after the meeting?
No, no worries, no worries. It's not urgent at all. Okay. We have, does anybody have anything else on PR 929 or 930? Excellent. Next up, we have PR 931. This was opened by Russell. This is a rename. I love renames. Russell, do you want to talk about it?
Yeah, it's just really straightforward. SC6 had a very minimal name, and now it is a little bit more descriptive and in line with the other schemas.
Awesome. It is super straightforward, and it does have some cascading changes on the OpenAPI YAML, but that's just because of the way we name things. It doesn't look anything is breaking at all. So, I've approved it. Can I get another approval? Patrick's happy with it. Sounds good. That's two approvals and we're good to go. This has now been merged in. Next up, we have 932. I believe this is also you, Russell.
Yeah. 932. Oh, this is a weird one. Turns out there were two forms, two credentials for PPQ 587. So those are merged. I'm embarrassed because I was definitely responsible for that.
I mean, I don't think you should be. This was wonderful. Cleaning up credentials is always, always nice. I've given it a, it looks really straightforward, right? It's just taking two credentials and merging them in. Any objections to merging in PR 932? It's using the same language from before, and everything seems pretty straightforward. Can I get a, oh, they're conflicting, branch conflicts. I think it's because we merged in the previous, PR and that affected the OpenAPI. Would you mind just clearing that up and then we can merge this out of band?
Yeah, for sure.
Here, those conflicts. All right. Next up is 933. Russell again.
Yeah. 933 is, there were two kind of, all of these came up in the process of coming up with a bunch of, mock data. So there's just a bunch of things that became clear. There was a type issue and there was a property that was just date and the description said it could refer to any of three dates. So split that.
Excellent. That makes things a lot cleaner. And I'm seeing it's mostly the harvest date that's affecting a lot of the changes, but everything else seems very, very straightforward. Okay. Can I get another review on this one, please? So again, this is, thank you, Chris, 933. And it's been merged in. Looks super straightforward. Two to go, 934. Also by Russell. And this is organic certification.
Yeah, I think this has the potential to be a little bit more controversial just because I vaguely remember something came up a while, ages ago about certification versus certificate. I think Ted, you might have been involved in that discussion, but this one is renaming organic certification to organic certificate and organic product certification to organic product certificate.
And this credential refers to the actual certificate that we're talking about, like the.
Yeah.
Not whether a person has a certification. Okay. Well, I think the name is better to have certificate at the end of it. I think we had a similar issue, but it was with credential at the end. I don't think it was with certificate, if I recall.
But okay.
This looks perfectly fine for me. Does anyone have any issues with PR number 934? Excellent. We have two approvals. Gonna go ahead and merge it in. And the last PR for today, which is 935, which is quantitative value and measured value. Quantitative value and measured value are essentially identical. I kept quantitative because it's a general term. Did you remove measured value?
Yeah, I turned all measured values into quantitative values, I think. Quantitative value encompassing measured value in my mind. Like measured is quantitative, but quantitative okay. isn't really a measure.
It makes sense. I think on our end, Guillermo, we're going to have to do a few changes because this affects quite a number of ours.
Yeah.
Just from an English perspective, what's the difference between a measured value and quantitative value? Can anyone?
In this case, I was thinking that, at least in terms of usage, measured values seem to refer to values that actually refer to like the values given by instrumentation or people observing. Whereas quantitative values, it seemed more as if it was anything that had both a unit and a value, even if it wasn't the result of a measurement.
So why would we switch from, so because I'm looking at some of the ones on the oil and gas side, and I know that these are, like they're supposed to be indicative of this is what an instrument told me the value is.
Yeah, so this should be done. Definitely yes, measured value is a subtype of quantitative value. But I think that specificity is appropriate in a bunch of areas and probably all of the ones where it's just right now.
Okay. I hear that. That makes sense. I think that something needs to be done because the two schemas have two properties and they're the same property. Could we maybe, do we have any ideas? It comes to mind that we could add a property, context or measured, but does that bother anyone maybe else?
So the thing is that I believe where we are using measured value, we're trying to indicate that there was some form of instrument that was actually measuring it, right? And I want to keep that indicator in at least some of the schemas that I'm looking at, like the delivery ticket, because I know that that's relevant, right? I know in some cases we have no idea if that's a measured or if it's just all we have is a quantitative. So I think it's a sort of best practices what we agree on as a group to say if you can use a measured value to indicate the more specific type, please do. If you can't use a quantitative value, what are you seeing is the problem of having two types with basically the same value and unit code?
Okay, I guess, well, one thing is I was not aware of the context that both of you are providing, so I assumed it was a mistake to have them be, I assumed they were just duplicates from something legacy. Even knowing that they do serve different purposes, it does seem a little odd to have that duplication. Does just pitching another option could, Maybe that's just me, but pitching another option, what if we had a quantitative value that had a source property that could say instrument or user or like instrument or human observation or something?
As an optional property, I think that might be a really good way to differentiate them and it gives you a little bit more context.
Either that or adjust the description of measured value to basically say what we've said here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Measured value comes from an instrument or from, you know, human activity. And quantitative value is sort of like, I ordered 100 of these things and the measured value is 99.6. you know.
Yeah. Okay. I agree with that. I think honestly the easiest way is to modify the description. I think that's the most straightforward way forward. Having a term that basically says sensor versus human measure might be useful. I don't know if I don't know if on our side we're going to go through that effort for something like this, because a lot of the times it's very evident what it is. And, from just the person who's from the, like, the context that they're consuming it perspective, right? There's no reason to indicate.
Okay.
But I think the description change is very relevant.
Okay, so we definitely, it does seem reasonable to have the two to be separate, both with value and unit code. We can just add descriptions to make it more clear what they're serving, the different purposes that they're serving.
Yeah. I think that makes sense. Okay. Do you want to comment on the PR to that effect, or you think you got it?
Yeah, I can comment, or I'll probably just close this PR and then make, well, we're so close to the, what is the timeline for V1?
Well, hopefully we run through all the issues today, and once we're done with all the issues, we can take stock of how much time we expect. Honestly, from where we are today, I think there's 10 to 12 issues to go through, and I'm guessing end of March might be a reasonable timeline to cut a V1. But that's like my guesstimate. Obviously nobody else has, you know, given any input on that.
Yeah.
I suggest closing this PR and creating an issue for what it is, since there is no associated issue. It's usually best practice to open an issue for a thing and then open a PR to solve that issue. The discussion typically mostly takes place in the issue, and you know, the PR does what it needs to address it.
Okay. That makes sense. As just listening input, for like the previous handful of PRs, would you suggest that it could have been better to create an issue for each and then a PR for each?
Anywhere there's likelihood of differing opinions, an issue is appropriate. If it's like a typo fix, then going straight to PR is fine. But this is not like a typo fix.
Thank you. That makes sense. I'll close this one. I'll make an issue.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you both. Okay. Patrick, please.
Yeah. Sorry, I missed a call at the beginning to bring like some topics I'd like to discuss, and I don't know if I can just insert one or two topics. Okay. So we had a meeting with BC. So I know we are waiting for a demo from NeoFlow to showcase their platform, which I believe use this traceability specification. So the team at BC are waiting for that demo to sort of demystify some of the question of how this works. There were a lot of questions around the trust layer. So in the workflows that are on the vocab page, all the workflows start with the intent to import, but there were questions about what comes before this. Like, how does a potential buyer and a potential seller come into a business relationship? Is this considered outside of the specification, or is there a sort of way to do this?
So it's a bit of a weird question, because the Neoflow/BCGov conversation is not part of these calls, right? It's not part of this standards flow. And while they both use the spec, that, you know, how they use the spec is, you know, not relevant here. But as the person who's actually on that team, I can obviously answer that question for you. From the, how do workflows interact? So how do you get an initial workflow number that is out of scope of this spec? That is a, generally what we believe is the situation will happen is each entity, in this case, probably an agency where you're submitting a workflow to, will probably have their own rules about how you get a workflow number. To give you some perspective, different government agencies today have allocated numbers for entry number, where there's allocated lots where specific brokers are allowed to have a specific prefix, and then they are allocated X to Z numbers, right?
Okay.
We expect a similar situation may happen. Today, the general workflow is any entity who would like to communicate with any other entity talking about a defined workflow, i.e., I am importing crude oil into the US, or I am exporting natural gas from Canada, or whatever. They would point to a workflow definition, which is quote unquote a checklist that tells you, these are all the things that you should expect in this workflow, right? This is kind of sort of what this workflow, like the all encompassing part of this workflow will be.
And who defines these checklists, like these workflow definitions? Is that the
workflow definition is in the traceability vocab, and it's to be defined.
Okay.
You can just set up a new workflow definition that says, for this workflow, these are the expected values, right? These are the expected credentials.
Okay.
The workflow instance is the individual shipment, for example, or the individual entry, or the individual crude oil import, or individual, you know, box of strawberries, or whatever it is. That individual box belongs to an individual shipment, which will have its own workflow instance number. So there's two different numbers, right? The definition, which tells me the type of transaction we're talking about, import of avocados, strawberries, whatever. And then the workflow instance number, which is kind of sort of like an ID number that I would use to know what am I actually talking about here, right?
Okay. So the workflow instance ID, it belongs to a workflow definition?
No.
Is there like a hierarchy?
Yeah. Well, it's not hierarchical, no. The easiest way to think about it is a workflow may have many definitions, because you could say, in this specific shipment, I am importing both strawberries and avocados, right? And when I'm importing strawberries, I need to have these three different requirements from, what's the agency? I keep forgetting. The food, whatever the agency is called, right? And they say you need to have these three different forms. And then when you're importing avocados, you need to have those three same forms, but also an extra two forms or something like that. And so a specific workflow has definitions in it that basically say, this is the entire possible universe of credentials that you should be expecting within this workflow, right?
Okay.
The workflow instance just tells you this specific workflow, what ID do I have for it so I can correlate it with anything else, right? Does that answer your question?
Well,
we have a conversation offline. I think, I have slides and stuff where it'll, you know, be a
okay,
lot
that could help. Like with time, you know, I'll get to understand it more and more. Like I still haven't seen it like in action, you know, so I think that's going to clarify a lot of things. And what about the cases where, so for example, right now, like there are existing pipelines, you know, from Canada to the US. So is it expected that both partners will, like, what about existing partners that are not involved in this traceability spec? Let's say there's a buyer in the US, they have this contract going. Is it expected that they will also need to become sort of in this traceability spec, or it's okay to have players that are not within the spec?
So it's perfectly, so the way it would work is, let's say I am a government agency who's receiving these things, right?
Yeah.
I could easily say I only accept data in if they use the traceability interop spec, which means I expect the workflow, I expect the instance. Or I could say, if you want to send me via API, I expect that. But if you want to continue using your existing flow of sending me paper documents, I accept that too. Or you could say any number of things, right? This is entirely up to the receiving party what thing they wish to accept. The spec does not say you're not allowed to use anything else. It doesn't say you must use this spec and, you know, if you want to send it smoke signals, live your life, right? Like you can do whatever you want. It's all about, the spec is basically says at a certain point, if you want to correlate a bunch of credentials together, you should assign them a workflow ID so that we know that these are the, you know, credentials supposed to be tied together.
Yeah.
That's basically the subset.
Okay. One last question. So in the, let's say, an entity wants to issue a title to a title holder. The way to do that is it that they would issue it and then send a presentation to the title holder, and that's how we would receive this credential.
That's how the trace interop. It's the same as the VC API. It's the same way as you know, any way you choose to exchange credentials is entirely up to you. The traceability interop outlines the use of traceable presentations to exchange credentials. But obviously you can just say, I want to do it over DIDCOM or I want to do it over, you know, I just want to send it on email, right? Like it's entirely up to you how you exchange those credentials. TraceAPI is just a recommendation of like,
they propose a way.
Please do it this way. And this is, if you do it this way, you can expect anybody else who implements the spec to be able to understand you, right? At the end of the day, this is a, if you implement the spec, expect this format of stuff. If you don't implement the spec, you can use some parts of it as you see fit, right?
Okay. That's pretty good. I had also two more interoperability questions. I don't know if we have a bit of time for this or.
Oh, sorry. I muted. We do have a little bit of time, but maybe, Patrick, this is something that would be easier to solve one-on-one. I'm happy to have to stay after the call and chat.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay. So let's, just because I'm, you know, we have half an hour for this call, I want to make sure that we get through the 1.0 stuff. And then I'm happy to chat. Okay. Any other things anybody wants to bring up before we go through our list? Awesome. On the list of issues we went through last time, I believe we went through 879, and that one I think we went through, which basically said, hey, we have a bunch of terms I would like to know, as a nice to have, a table that says this is where we're using the vocabulary from. I think we all agreed that this was a nice to have, and I feel like I just forgot to label it on our last call, so I'm labeling it now. There was another question on the add credential status to VC bank example. So this is issue 800 and, sorry, I'm rushing through 879. Nobody minds that, right? 819 is the next one. And I added the post 1.0 label, but for some reason that didn't cycle. Which is weird. Okay. So I'm just skipping that. We did process it. It just didn't cycle for some reason. The next one was 573. This one I know we didn't talk about. And it says, avoid schema.org data types. Vlad says we should avoid using schema.org data types. We should use more specific things. We ended up saying we should make an action of all date times that need to be fixed in this repo in order to more specifically point to date versus date time. And Ben, we assigned this to Ben, and Ben is no longer going to be working on this. So this was, I believe we discussed a month ago-ish, where we were talking about, let's go through the dates. There were 16-ish dates, and we need to make sure that we can, go through them and process. Does it make sense to use date? Does it make sense to use date time? What are we actually intending to use, right? Would anybody be able to volunteer to take this on? I remember, Patrick, you went through it last time and you said there was like 16 individual credentials that may have had this issue overall.
Yeah, so it's to look. I would just need a refresher to what type of object we want to use and what type we don't want to use. So we do want to use date time. Is that correct?
So I think Ted talked about it last time about which one is interoperable and which one is not. So if you have a date, you could go from a date to a date time. It should be pretty straightforward. If you have a date time, it's harder to go back to a date, unless I...
Is it the other way around?
Ted, did I butcher what you were saying?
I think it's less a question of interrupt as it is a question of which one holds the value that matters to you, right? If you need time specificity, then date is not going to do it. You need the date time.
Yeah, and I think the idea was we go through these credentials and see, does it make more sense to have a date or does it make more sense to have a date time on it? I know in a lot of these, a date time is relevant. So, for example, I know natural gas product, OG bill of lading, a date time would be pretty good. And worst case scenario, the companies that are providing date time would simply provide a date time of midnight if they don't actually have a more, you know, granular knowledge of the time. That's how it generally ends up happening, right?
I can have a look. Would I need to open a new issue and start to list?
I think there's a list at the top of the thing, unless I'm missing something. There's also the top of the issue, right? That says basically these are, let me link the issue again. Vlad's already done this grep, and all it would be is just going through these and make sure that we're using the correct one, right?
I can start to have a look here. I don't know if I'll have time to finish it, but I can definitely start to.
Okay. And we did say this is a V1.0 issue. So if you can, Patrick, that would be wonderful.
Yeah,
I do want to note here, Ori said this issue can be closed when all date time items are addressed. But the issue is rather broader. He talks specifically about schema date and schema date time and XSD date time. And we have to be clear on which one we're actually going to use. Is it going to be XSD or is it going to be schema? But that's as an example, even though that's what he puts details about.
So I'm going through the link that he posted and it's enclosed, and it's a reasonably long discussion.
Well, it's closed, but it's on schema.org. It's not.
Yeah. I'm trying to find what exactly he's advocating for. I think what he's trying to say is pick one and go through, but also don't use schema.org if you can avoid it, unless I'm misunderstanding.
I think that's correct. I think it's use schema.org data types only when those are the only option.
Yeah, and in a lot of our situation, we could just use XSD date time.
This is not necessarily a search and replace. This is, it seems like a deeper thing because to find all of the schema data types, that's a lot.
What's the harm of, I don't really understand what the harm of not indexed by semantic repositories. I don't understand what that means. So he says schema.org data types should be avoided because they're not indexed by semantic repositories. And I don't know what that means. So I can't really assess the actual impact of continuing to use schema.org.
I think what he's talking about is when things are put on the web as opposed to in a private space, then you typically want them to be indexed by the spiders, whether it's Google or Bing or whoever. And they don't, at least according to what Vladimir's saying, they don't index the schema colon text, for instance. But they do index the XSD string.
Yeah. to me, the question of whether we use date time versus date is a concrete question we should answer for 1.0. The question of whether we want to get off schema.org for dates or whether we're going to want to get off them generally is something that I don't think we want to answer for 1.0, unless anybody disagrees with that framing. Because that seems like a much bigger...
Given the overall picture, I think that's the right call. But I think we need to be clear about what's happening on this issue.
Yeah. And I'll go ahead and write that as a comment. We should address the date versus date time discrepancies. We will not be looking into the okay. I've gone ahead and basically outlined we're going to be address date versus date time for 1.0. We should not be removing all schemas for 1.0. Okay. I'm not even saying if we should or not, but yeah. Okay. Patrick, is that clear as an action item?
Yeah. So what I understand I should do is just look at the vocab and make sure to change all date formats to date time objects.
If it makes sense, right? So if you're going to look at the examples, and a lot of these people
if it makes sense, or is because I thought it was just a decision we wanted to do to use date time as.
So some places you're going to find that people are providing a date, but they can't provide a date time, right?
How do you decide?
Just look at because we have examples under it, and they'll just be, be the clear assumption. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so I can start by making a list of these, and then you can discuss which one is more suitable. Because if they put a date as the object, they will also have a date in the example. So I'm assuming that all the example will match the format that they specified.
That's a good question, and that is a good
assumption. But yeah, I'll have a look and see. Okay. Okay.
I appreciate that. Go ahead, Russell.
You were saying, does it hurt to just use date time if they can just put midnight if need be?
I think that's a good idea.
I mean, that's a pretty straightforward way to solve it. The only issue is a consumer may assume that that midnight is a real, like, how do you distinguish between a real midnight and a, you know, I ran out of, I didn't know, so I put midnight.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
Does that make sense? But I think, V1 of this PR could just be switch it all to date times, and then, I think it'll be pretty straightforward on PR review to see if any of these date times really shouldn't be. Right? And I think that's one straightforward way we could do it. Right? So basically, awesome. Let's add a section on GS1. So it's raised by Ori. Paul talked about this and he didn't update it. Are you still interested? So this is basically he wanted to add a section on GS1. Paul hasn't done it so far. Adding this in. So we'll need it's soon for V1. Right? If they would like to get this in, we can just assign it to 1.0. I'm going to assign it to 1.0 just to follow up with Paul on this. If they're not so interested in having a section for themselves, they wouldn't have one, right? We have some more things. We have one from Nis where he says, R2 specs have drifted. Where traceability vocab and traceability interop references to UUIDs are different. Ben said, what's the issue? Do we have a regex for credential format or the more as long as it's a valid URN? Basically, let me read this spec really quickly. It says in the main credential, it needs to be a URN UUID something. It just needs to be a valid URN. And then on the interop side, we are saying that it needs to be a UID v4. So the question is, do you want it to be a valid URN or a UUID v4? And I think, this is a good question. Do we want the data model to disallow generic URNs and only allow a URN with a UUID? Or is that an interop question? And I feel like it is okay for those two to be desynced because the profile is a specific implementation guide that says, if you would like to work with other people who are accepting, that only applies for presentations. I don't think that applies for credentials. So I think for credentials, we need to allow generic URNs. And for presentations, we need to be more specific about UIDs. I can assign myself to this and take care of this issue. Does anybody disagree with that read of the situation? Basically, what I'm trying to say is, traceable presentations, the one on traceability interop is 100% correct, where it says it needs to be a UUID v4 with a new ID. And then traceable, for our verifiable credentials, we should allow, only URN. Well, does anybody disagree with allowing any valid URN as a verifiable credential ID? Do we need the more specific? Please, Patrick.
Doesn't the spec, the data model spec specify needs to be a URI?
So the data model spec says it needs to be a URN. The interop spec says it needs to be a UUID URN.
Okay.
Right? So the question is, are we okay with just having any valid URN, or do we want it to always include a UUID URN, right? I think for broader interoperability, we should allow any credential to have any valid URN as an ID. And then if you would like to send it over traceability interop, the presentation should have a URN, but the credential can have whatever it is, form of ID that you choose.
Was there a reason why it was decided to use UUID specifically?
I think it's just simpler for everybody, and it's what we all agreed on using. I don't believe there was a specific reason why we said no. For presentations, UUID was important because we wanted a way to make sure that it's always universally unique, right?
Yes.
For credentials, as long as it's a valid URN that resolves a unique thing on your system, then it should be fine, right? At the URN, I mean. Okay. I'll go ahead and assign myself to it. Next up is 575, conflation of value. We finally agreed on is Russell is going to be fixing this on the agriculture schemas, and Nis or Ben are going to look at the steel schemas. Russell, have you had a chance to look at this? This is 575.
I haven't looked at it in a bit. It looks doable. I can prioritize this.
Awesome. And I feel like this is a pretty straightforward 1.0 issue. I don't think this is a thing that needs to wait. Awesome. Thank you, Russell. 894 is your specific issue on it. So, do you mind if I just close 894? Oh wait, you seem to have had a merge on this.
Oh. Did I?
So, you had this PR that closes them. Yeah.
Okay.
So it seems that this has been resolved. So I'm going to go ahead and close this issue. And I'm going to go ahead and close, five, seven, five. Nice. We're moving forward. 8, 9, 8, sorry, 2, 6 says use slash not hash. I think the current choice of delimiter is hash. However, there is no point for last semantic collections like traceability. Slash is better. Instead of W3ID traceability hash traceability mode dash air, it should be traceability mode slash air. I feel like this is a nice to have, and it's a huge change. I don't think this is a thing that should block a V1.0 if we implement this.
I'm sorry, backing up one.
Mm-hmm.
I think 575 was bigger.
I think there's another one for the steel one, if that's what you're talking about. Unless I'm missing.
Conflation of value.
I think there's two subtasks. One which was for steel, one was for agriculture. And I think there's a task for steel and agriculture separately. Like separate issues for this.
I don't see anything associated with 575 except for 894 and 895. So 894 was a subsidiary issue. A part of 575. Yeah. 895, I believe, addressed 894, but not 575 in whole.
I see. You're correct. I thought we split out two separate issues for this. I misread it. I have reopened 575. Russell, would I be okay to ask you to review the steel as well? I don't know how many they have, but it should be pretty straightforward considering you've just done it for...
Yeah, sure.
Yeah? Okay, I appreciate it. So I've reopened it and it still has the 1.0 label. Thanks for that catch, Ted. Okay. Next up is 826.
Sorry, just want to make sure.
Yeah, no, please.
Make sure we get a note into 575 that says the plan.
Agriculture was closed with 895. Russell will be tackling steel as a solution to this issue.
Great, thank you.
No worries. Okay. Use slash not hash, which is 826. Basically, Vlad wants us to change the choice of delimiter. This seems like a nice to have. I think this is a huge amount of work for something that is really not that nice, not that like big of a deal, to be honest. I don't think this should block a 1.0. Does anybody disagree with that? Well, do we want to keep this open or not in the first place? Okay. I'm going to put it post 1.0 and we'll punt it off to later if we would like to review it again. Wrong linked data mapping props versus classes is the next issue, which is number 270. There are many cases where a prop is mapped to a class. This is pending close and it's been pending close since, and it's a really long thread. Pending close since October. But somebody's responded after, and I missed it. It was Charles Lerner who was responded afterwards. Does anyone have any insight onto this particular issue? I'm just reading through the last few comments and they seem, pretty big, pretty confusing, not big. Okay. Considering it has a pending close for a while. Well, it has since been replied to, so I'm not sure if we want to keep that pending close tag. I don't particularly know what this is trying to say. Please, Russell.
Yeah. I'm not, some of, you said that was Charles?
Yeah, that's
some
Charles.
Is suggested changes aren't really making sense to me. Some of them, it seems like he is using a hash to an arbitrary hash to just the lowercase of one of our schemas. Just looking at some of the red-green suggestions, but I haven't looked over his whole comment. I think it would need, some of these make sense to me, some of them don't. I guess it's not, that doesn't really resolve the dilemma of whether we close it.
Mm-hmm. I think we can keep it open. I'll put it as a post 1.0 I think the ask here is review anything where the class is a capital letter and make sure that it's a lowercase because it probably should be a property, not a class. That's what Vlad's initial ask was. But I'm not sure if I'm reading that correctly. Vlad has an example second line that says,
That does seem worthwhile. That's something I've tried to change when I saw it, but probably not. I don't think it seems like a larger task.
Okay. Let's move forward. We have schema validation for GS1 VCs, which is 786. This was basically changes to the EPCIS model. I believe NIST was supposed to be doing something similar to this, and we decided to push it back until we do the VC 2.0 upgrade is done, and we agreed that's not a blocker for 1.0. So I'm going to go ahead and put a label for post 1.0 and we can keep going because we've already said this is pending a different VC 2.0 upgrade. Do we make an ID a requirement for traceable presentations? Trace vocab credentials. I believe this is an important one to have. Basically, we wanted to go through the credentials and make sure that they all have a required attribute on the ID field. And it's already got some existing assignments for people. Patrick, please feel free.
I know credential ID was a recent topic on the VCA API. And so when you issue a credential, you can have a credential, like an ID value of your credential, which is then usually used to refer to that credential in an API call. When you add when you want to assign a credential, should this ID be provided at the request, or is there a use case where the system would generate it and include it in the return? I know we had quite a bit of discussion around this, and the verdict was that the system should not generate the ID and it should be provided from the client. Curious if you have the...
So on the traceability side, we expect it to, I believe, be provided from the... client, unless I'm forgetting something.
So would this test here, well, would this, if ID is a requirement, would that mean that I should not issue a credential if it does not have an ID property?
No, it's not about the request. So actually, I think, Chris, you're the one who added this test, if I remember correctly. And I think what we landed on was credential ID is a requirement in the issued credential. It is not a requirement in the JSON you're sending to be converted to a credential.
Yeah, so that goes to what I was saying earlier. Like, does the traceability spec want to make it so that the system can generate the ID field of the credential if it's not been provided by the client?
I think when we've tackled this in the past, our original inclination was the client should always provide a unique ID. Then we ran into a bunch of issues with interoperability with the VC API, and we landed on as long as the issued credential has an ID, then it should be okay, and we will not fail. Like, you should not return a 400 if there's no ID, right?
So there was a PR merge last week in the VC API where they recommend against this. So I think this should just probably be documented somewhere in the traceability interop spec. So they say like the system should not generate an ID and return it if it wasn't provided, because this can lead to, if there is a if the client doesn't get a response, you know, for either there's too much load on the server, you will have a sort of lost credential in your system, and that could lead to
issue. I think while that is a valid thing, what we were looking at from the traceability perspective is credential IDs are incredibly relevant because the vast majority of use cases will have credentials that are revocable, and
yeah,
it's basically unusable to have a revocable credential without an ID. And so
yeah,
it was very much, yes, we don't want to break interop with the VC API, but because the vast majority of them are intended to be, you know, revocable,
yeah,
we basically need an ID. So,
yeah, because
we have
they also,
a line already.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They also define like this option on the issuance for a credential ID, which is a value that you would set that is not to be used as the ID of the credential, but to be used when referring to that credential through API calls. So that means you could have an issued credential that doesn't have an ID property, but you can still refer to that credential based on the credential ID that you've set. A bit confusing, but it makes sense.
Yeah. So in our traceability interop, we have a very clear line that we've agreed on that basically says verifiable credentials in a traceable presentation must contain the verifiable credential.id property. And it must be unique, and then they talk about the UID fields.
And does
so we already have that.
Okay.
Sorry?
Must it also contain a status? Like, is status?
No. A status is not a requirement. A status is an optional field. An ID is a required field in any traceable presentation.
Okay. Okay, that's good. So as long as we know that's like, because this was just like merged into VC API spec, and that's,
yeah,
I know we had some discussion around like where, what's the difference, you know, between this and the VCI spec? So I would just probably highlight this as a, you know, a note.
Okay.
I can probably open an issue for this if it's.
We already had this conversation a few times with that team,
okay,
with the people on the VCI API as well. I think this is just one of those like different use cases. Like these cases are so wildly different that it leads to very different requirements. I know we're a little bit over time, so just to wrap up this issue, there are assigned people on it, and I'm going to mark it as 1.0 because this seems pretty straightforward. People have been assigned to the issue, and then we can follow it up as we go. I'm going to stop the recording now. Thank you for coming.